Oh, Well, good morning. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in about 3 weeks. Have you ever been gone for a couple weeks or so and then come back and had someone say, "Hey, I've missed you"? Well, that happened to me this morning, and I've missed you guys as well. I've been out sick in the last couple weeks, so it is great to see you guys. It's great to see you guys kind of closer. That is so awesome this morning. So we do still have some people out and about. Pastor is on his last day or so of vacation, so we've got Pastor gone again leading the sermon this morning, so great for that. But be in prayer for those that maybe you don't see this week or last week, and just if you think about it, drop them a note, a phone call, a text, an email, whatever, and just say, "Hey, missed you," because when you receive that message, it's nice to hear. So very nice to hear. Real quickly, let's turn to our bulletins. I've actually got several things that I need to touch on. We got a lot coming up in the next couple weeks. Most of you, I'm sure, as you came into the church this morning, could smell something from the fellowship hall. Smelled really good. Well, that's because we've got our dog's luncheon directly following service today. I know several of the ladies and even a couple of the men have brought in dishes this morning. So we will be joining in fellowship directly following service and then celebrating our birthdays and anniversaries for this month. Very important. This Wednesday, we need everybody to be here this Wednesday evening, 6:30, here at the church. We will be having a town hall meeting. This has to do with the church revitalization Paul Borden that was here just a couple weeks ago. Mark Bain will be here kind of leading it. So we need everyone to be here 6:30 this Wednesday. If time permits, depending on how long the town hall meeting goes, there will be choir practice directly following that. But please try to be here 6:30 Wednesday town hall meeting. Then the teens have a bonfire this coming weekend. If you have a teen that's going to be a part of that, maybe you want a little bit more information, you can see Cody, see John, see Stephanie, and they can get that to you. But that's this Friday evening, 7 to 11. Then we've got Trunk or Treat coming up a week from tomorrow. Trunk or Treat will be from 6 to 8 o'clock. So we are going to need everyone that's going to be participating here at the church about 5:30 so we can get the cars lined up, get everything kind of organized for that. If you won't actually be here and be present for it and still want to participate, you can drop candy off at the office. Right now we've only got one bag of candy in the church office, and trust me, there's going to be more than one bag's worth of candy that's going to be needed to be passed out. So if you're not going to be here to actually have your car out in the parking lot and your trunk open and want to donate some candy, please drop that by the office this week. Then November is right around the corner, and as most of you know, we always have our annual revival in November. This year, our speaker is Susie Schellenberger, and many of you probably know her from her past with Focus on the Family. But normally we do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This year it's a little bit different. I believe it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So look at your bulletins. The 4th, the 5th, and the 6th are the days that we will actually meet. On the 4th, it's at 6:30. And then Saturday, the 5th, the ladies will actually meet here at the church in the morning for a ladies' conference and brunch that will go from 10 to noon. And then there will be a revival service that evening for everyone at 6:30. And then, again, the following Sunday morning, the regular worship. It's actually, we're going to be meeting at 9:30 in here instead of Sunday school, and then 10:30 regular worship service. So we've got that coming up. Be in prayer for Shelly that she'll just be able to come, be filled with the Spirit, and be able to speak what God has laid upon her heart. Election. Election's coming up November 8th. Be in prayer. I couldn't imagine a more important election than the one that we've got coming up November the 8th. So again, be in prayer for that and be certain to go out and vote for that. Lastly, this is the last week of October, so our pastries in prayer. This month we've been focusing on the John Thomas School for their teachers and staff and their students. So one last week that we're actually going to be focusing on them. So please be sure to lift them up in prayer this last week. Tiffany Beechler is going to come up, and she's got a quick announcement.
Okay, so as you all know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, so I want to appreciate our other pastors. So Pastor Don, if you'll come down here, please. So I was going to tell some funny jokes this morning that are Bible-related, because Pastor Don's just so funny. I thought that he'd get a good kick out of that. But I was told my jokes weren't funny, so I thought I'd spare you.
Now go ahead. Take a chance.
It's okay. But I do have a gift for you, and this is from your church family. And we want you and Miss Ruth to know how much we appreciate you guys. You mean the world to us, and you're always someone to crack a joke with, and I love it. And I love to see your smiling face on Sunday mornings. So I thank you for everything that you do, and on behalf of your church family, I wanted to give you that gift.
Thank you so much. And on the way back to your pew, watch out for lake bats. We do appreciate every one of you, and we want to thank you so much. Ruth and I just love serving the kingdom and this local church. And Tiffany, even if her jokes aren't too relevant, whatever fits. I think all these young people know that we love them and how much we appreciate them, and I tease the life out of Tiffany. She don't get any rest from me even as far as the teasing's concerned. But we love every one of you, and every one of you are special to us. This week, if you missed the potluck with the pastor, you missed going to Hootentown. Now, Hootentown is not a place you find just on the trip someplace. You've got to go deliberately to Hootentown. I mean, that's all there is to it. Seriously, the food was great, and we had a great time. I think there was 8 of us that went, and we really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for all of your thoughtfulness, and God bless you during this upcoming year, and we're looking forward to reaching some souls for Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. And you don't need to have me ramble on and on. So God bless you, and thanks again.
Sick this morning, so you're stuck with me for mission moment, but I'm going to make this pretty quick because how many of you realize that over the last several weeks we've had some disasters around our own country as well as others with the hurricane, and then there was a typhoon in the Philippines, and we know that these crisis care kits go out of the warehouses almost as fast as we can make them. So we're going to ask for your help again, and if Stevie and Tiffany would come and pass these out for me. Anyway, we're going to, during this next few weeks, we're going to be collecting crisis care kits again. So if you would please, each family, take one of these. It only costs about, if you go to the dollar store or Dollar Tree, it only costs you about $17 to $20 to fill one of these crisis care kits, and if you don't want to put them in a two-gallon bag, just bring them in the bag you get them from the store, and we will fill the 2-gallon bags and fill the boxes. So we appreciate your help in this. I know that in the fall and getting towards Christmas, there's a lot of things on our mind that we can spend our money for, but this is really important for those people that don't have anything, and we think especially of the people in Haiti, where it was so devastated for them. And so just fill those, if you would, please, and bring them back by the middle of November. Thank you.
Invite our ushers to come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Father, we're here this morning to worship you. We pray you open our hearts and minds to the Spirit, to the message, to the songs, everything that is here. May it open us up to your word and your ministry to us. Bless this offering, we pray, that it may achieve the results desired, and that we'll continue to carry out your work in the kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Feather by my wall. utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul
have several prayer requests today, and we want to make mention of them. I would like to believe that I have probably all the prayer requests down that you have. But making our needs known to God, I think, is a really important part of our Christian living. And several of our folk have had difficult times. And if you go up to somebody and they're holding their hands up like this and they won't shake hands with you, it means that they are taking some medication that makes their immune system maybe not as strong as it should be. And we don't want to share with those folks who are visiting with us or a part of our services that might be affected by sharing something that we have accumulated on our hands. So just as a kindness and a courtesy, if you run into someone that's holding their hand up like that, why, recognize that and greet them readily, as warmly as you would if you shook hands with them, but let them know that you're thinking about them too. And we have several that are taking some medication that would cause their immune system to not be so good. Remember those prayer requests, Joanne Seisel. Brother Jim Linger lost a brother this week, and we need to remember them in prayer. Carolyn Stevens is ill today and not with us. And Pat's mother, Loretta Stiles, is also ill. Remember the town hall meeting, be in prayer about that and the revival. And then we have Bert here with us this morning. And it's really good to see her and have her in our services. And Bert has a ministry, and we need to remember her ministry over at the rest home. Assisted living, whichever it happens to be. She's shaking her head yes and no. I have to get instructions from her before I make announcements so that we get the right thing in the right place. But we need to remember those things. And are there other prayer requests that we need, you'd like to make mention of? Yes. Debbie? Okay. Need to remember her sister, Debbie. Remember the pastor. He and a deer had an no good, rotten meeting last Sunday night. And I think they have everything under control and will be back with us this week. But we need to remember them. I had one of those slight collisions with a deer last year after our grandson graduated from high school, and it's not a good thing in the middle of the night to have one of those meetings. Anything else? Okay, the altars are open. If you'd like to pray here, we certainly invite you as we sing this next chorus.
Everything else will fade. Distractions cease to be.
together for our prayer time today. Again, remember these requests that we've mentioned. And just slip right into the presence of God. Allow Him to speak to your heart as you speak to Him. Heavenly Father, we're so blessed today to be gathered in the house of God. Lord, we think of the battles that are being fought out there in the trenches. The Christians making a stand against Satan and all that he brings against them. Lord, we want to be encouraged today. We want to be overcomers. We want to be those people that will be found faithful in carrying our share of the load and doing what we can to reach people for Jesus Christ. Father, make us aware. We don't know when we'll come in touch with somebody that needs Christ working in their hearts and lives. But help us to be prayed up. Help us to be ready to share Christ with anyone we come in contact with. Lord, there may be some that we'll find resentful. But again, your Holy Spirit can overcome resentment. Your power can be with us even in the most difficult times. Then, Lord, we would remember those that are ill and afflicted today, and remember our pastor who's away. Remember those that have lost loved ones. Bring comfort, consolation. Scripture tells us you're the God of all comfort. Lord, your arm is not shortened that you can't reach where we are today. And in this service, and in this time, our hearts cry out for you. Come meet with us here. Touch your scriptures today. May they speak to hearts and lives. And Father, you know how many times I've asked for your help. Today is no exception. We pray that for ourselves and for everyone in your house today. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I have a long list here of birthdays and anniversaries, and I want to share those before we get into the message today. Birthdays: Marie Horn, Scott Raper, Joanne Seisel, Deborah Gill, Gary Swearingen, Addie Horn, Jacob Montgomery, Larry Hendricks, Evelyn Reed, and Lyle Browberger. And then anniversaries: Mr. and Mrs. Richard Mendenhall, Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Beechler, and Mr. and Mrs. Gary Judd. So you will be first in line when we get out to go to the dog's dinner today. And we want you to know we appreciate and love you and thank you for being here in God's house today. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, We're going to begin reading with verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. By the way, didn't you appreciate the kids' sermon today done by the kids? They did a great job. Their leadership. I enjoy all those movements that they do whenever they're worshiping in song. And they are a blessing to me this morning. And then for all of you that have kind of moved down toward the front, I want to say thank you so much. It makes the church look like there's more people here. Guess what? Today there are more people. So we're happy for that also. Thank you so much. We are going through a period of learning. And during the time that I was working in sales, outside sales, as Ruth and I kind of had to do some on-job things outside the church in our pastorate. I had a fellow tell me I went through the most boring sales meeting you've ever seen in your whole life. And I came out with the sides of my mouth all turned down. I said, that was the most boring thing I've ever been to. And my boss stopped me about the last, when I got that last word out of my mouth, and he said, don't ever go any place to a meeting that you don't look for one positive thing. And you know, that kind of turned my meetings around for me. I was looking for the good things. And you know what? God has good things for us as we gather together. And I feel so blessed to have been called into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Have I always done good? Well, sorry to say I haven't. But if I get real boring in the sermon, look for one positive thing you can take away from the service. If you can't find anything, stop me in the hallway and say, Pastor, I found that one thing. You finally quit. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Father, we pray your blessings on the reading of your word today. In Christ's name, amen. How many different adventures do we go through in life? I've had some adventures that were very pleasant. I've had some adventures that weren't quite so pleasant. And I've had some adventures that were just plain old downright doggy. I had the pleasure several years ago of going to South Africa to go big game hunting. That was a highlight. I'd never been to South Africa game hunting. Had a big old 375 H&H Magnum. Some of you probably are familiar with that caliber of weapon. I'll tell you what, when you shot it, you wondered if it was going to hurt what you were shooting at worse than it hurt you, because it kicked like a mule. But you know what? The greatest adventure I've ever had in Africa was helping build a little church out in the bush. South Africa was a great hunt, but it was nothing compared to the fact that God allowed us to build a little church in Molika, Kenya. Has a blue roof on it. You can see it for miles. I was white-headed, and they thought that I should be honored in the service when we dedicated that little church building that Sunday. They brought me a one-legged stool. Now, I don't know how many of you ever sat on a one-legged stool, but for a white-headed guy with kind of a bum knee, a one-legged stool is not too practical. But they gave me the best that they had and honored me because I was the oldest one in the group that was there helping them with their church. Jesus came on that little town in the form of the Jesus film. More than 30-something people were saved during that time when they showed the Jesus film. Oh, what a blessing that was. You talk about an adventure. South Africa didn't compare with that little church building there in Molika, Kenya. Well, I want to say something about adventures of living for God. God has some adventures for his people. God has some exciting things. God has some exciting things for this church in its future. I'm not discouraged about being here today. I'm encouraged by being here. I'm encouraged by you being here. I'm more encouraged that God has added his blessing to the adventures that he gives to his people. Is everything going to work just right? I'd like to promise you it would. I'd like to promise you you'd be pleased with everything that happens. I talked about that little church in Molika. The lumber there had to be bought on the black market, and it was cut on the night before we built the building. If you've ever driven nails into green eucalyptus wood, you know what I'm talking about. the juice just ran out by the gallon, seemed like. But some of the 2x4s were about that wide. Some of them were about that wide. And most of the rest of them were someplace in between that size and that size. So there weren't too many straight boards to nail into. So we had to lay it on the ground, get one flat side down, and nail it together out there on the ground. Was that fun? No. But it's still holding the roof up. It wasn't a fun thing to do that. But oh, what a blessing it was to dedicate that church and know that people were coming to Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us to lay up treasures in heaven where there is no rust and there is no moths eating those things that are part of the kingdom of God. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. I'm sorry, the 19th verse. Some of you that are older know what I'm talking about when I tell you I have a little problem with glasses. Some of the numbers don't read the same when you're looking through trifocals. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Peter, in writing to the people of his day, said, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I am saying to you today that that word comes ringing down through the years to us who are gathered here in this house today. Arm yourselves with the attitude of Christ. Christ faced some difficult things. It was not always easy for him. But he was saying, live for the will of God, our Heavenly Father. We choose that. You choose who you're going to live for. We make decisions. You're created as a free moral agent. And I'm not telling you anything new about that. You all know that. Temptations are going to come in this life. And sad to say, I feel like society today, the society in which we live, is getting used to the darkness of sin. And things that were an outward disgrace when I was growing up are accepted and looked upon and smiled upon and said, well, that's just the way things are. God is still in the business of changing lives around. God is still in the business of helping his people not get used to the dark, but to overcome the dark. We're tempted to compromise into thinking things are not too bad. If you go to the library to check out a book, and you come across writings and thoughts that aren't very clean or pure, someone will say, well, that book's not too bad. Your mind is a computer. My mind is a computer. And you get out what you put in. There are a lot of people who say, well, the computer made a mistake. Well, That may be possible. But most of the time, whatever information I put into my computer is the kind of information I get back. And whatever we put into our minds, as we walk through this world, that's why Peter was saying, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are tempted and pressured on every hand. Peer pressure pushes us away from Christ. To talk about sin does not change our hearts. There must be a change through Jesus Christ, the living Lord. We can't be complacent about sin in our world. We cannot let down the standards that are contained in the old Bible that says Holy Bible on the outside. There's no place in the kingdom of God for letting down. Talking about sin does not change our heart. It takes a new life, becoming a new creature through Christ Jesus. And that new creation changes our patterns, changes our lives, changes our habits. Our lives now, as Christians, should be in the attitude of Jesus Christ. He said, you've spent enough time doing all of these wrong things, and he lists them all down. That's not a complete list, but that's some of the things that the people of his day were bound up in and hung up in, and he didn't want the church to think that these former practices was the way to do it. He said, don't do these things anymore. Follow Christ. Change your habits. Consider the results. Consider what's happening in your families and among your friends and your acquaintances. Leave the past behind and live according to God. There needs to be a militant attitude in the Church of Jesus Christ about sin. We can't lie down. We can't back up. We can't look at it differently. We must resist the powers of darkness that seek to destroy our souls. Don't let Satan pull you down. Say, I'm on this adventure for Jesus Christ, and I'm blessed, and I'm smiling about it. Oh, it may be difficult at times, but I'm happy to be what God has called me to be. You know, seems like those things that are around us want to just suck us down and take away our joy and take away our victory. There's so much of the entertainment and the things that are in our world today that are for self-gratification. You can't hardly drive down the street anymore without seeing some advertisement about gratifying self and what it takes to make it. But he says very plainly here, be clear-minded and self-control so that we can pray. Clear-minded and self-controlled so we can pray. For the end of things is near. Now, I've preached that for 50-something years. Jesus is coming soon. And I thought Jesus would come before I ever retired. And now here I've retired 3 times and Jesus still hadn't come. He's not working on my schedule. He's working to see that the last soul that can be saved is brought into his kingdom. And that person that's your friend or that you may know may be the last person that God can reach before he says it's enough. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when. There are a lot of predictions in our world. Several predictions that have come about through my lifetime as I've been preaching the ministry are the people that have gathered on mountaintops, sold everything they had. I don't know why they sold everything they had, because the money won't do them any good anyway if Jesus comes. And gathered on a mountaintop and said, Jesus is coming, and they named the day and the hour. I don't know what they did after they'd sold everything. I guess they had to go back and try to buy it back. I know a guy that traded a car off down in Florida on vacation. Got back home and decided the old car was better than the one he traded for, and he drove all the way back to Florida to try to buy his car back. I don't know how successful he was. But folks, when Jesus comes, the good old U.S. dollar's not going to be worth anything. Selling or changing or trying to change after Jesus comes will not do. When Jesus comes, he'll come as a strike of lightning that comes from the east and shines even to the west. Everyone will be aware when Christ comes back. So what we must do believing that he could come at any time. We must realize that he's going to come riding on the clouds to catch his church away. It's imperative that the church be alert, self-controlled, and praying as we look forward to that time. Our relationship with Christ demonstrates our belief and our faith in him. Our prayer life I think prayer life should be very simple. I don't think it needs the these and thous, but you can pray any way you choose to pray. Father, is the way I open just about every prayer that I pray. I'm asking you for your help. I want to bring this person or that person to you in prayer. I want to bring our church to you in prayer, Father. For you know what we need. Prayer should be you and I talking to our very best friend, the God of all creation, the God of love, the God who cares. Our personal devotion time should be reading the Word and applying it to our lives. You know, the old book called the Holy Bible is not much good if it lays gathering dust. It must be applied to our hearts and to our lives. I need that. I need that application to my heart and my life every day. I need to be aware of what my Heavenly Father thinks and what your Heavenly Father thinks. And it's my prayer that you're seeking his face. The Holy Spirit comes to speak to our hearts and to our lives. Jesus in John said it this way. Sixth chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the counselor
will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and to righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Then in the 17th chapter, Jesus' prayer, my prayer is not for them alone. This is the 20th verse of the 17th chapter. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I. And you are in me, and I am in you. May they also be to us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me, even that you have loved them even as you have loved me. That was Jesus' prayer before the Holy Spirit came into the world to do his work among the church. Then Peter says this, above all, love each other. Serve others faithfully. Love covers a multitude of wrongs. Do we really love each other? The Church of Jesus Christ really love each other? Oh, you as a church have done so many nice things for Ruth and I, and we thank you again for this pastor's appreciation time. But the love of Christ should cause us to come together and to work together and to build his kingdom together in love. I started to say, think about somebody you don't love so much. But then I thought, no, that's not exactly the way Jesus taught it. He taught us that we had to love everybody. Even when we're going through trials and suffering and temptation, God requires love. Life stresses bring out the worst or the best in us, according to how his love works in our hearts and lives. If we're focused on ourselves and our problems, we may even look to blame others and find faults. But with clear dependence on God, the church is commanded to be a place of love and caring and sharing. So that if you have two coats and your brother doesn't have any, what are you supposed to do? Give him one of your coats. Caring, and I'm not saying go home and take your coat out of the closet and run out and see who you can give your coat to. But it's a simple matter of caring. Caring for people. Loving people. Letting them know that you care for them and love them. In 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, beginning with the 4th verse, reads this way, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Caring and sharing. Whatever gifts God has given to us, we are to use to build His great kingdom and serve others. Administer God's grace wherever you're found, whatever you're doing. God is a great God. Peter says, serve so that in all things God may be praised. Live as though our souls depend on God's grace. Share His grace and His mercy with those that are around us. What are we doing? What are we doing in our great adventure for God? Are you enjoying what God is doing? Are you allowing Him to place within you the attitude of Jesus Christ so that people know you are a child of the King and that you love them and care for them? Let's practice love. Let's practice God's kind of love with everyone we come in contact with. You'd be surprised what an adventure it would be to let God work in your life and in my life every day. Let's stand together. Don't forget those that we mentioned as far as birthdays and anniversaries. I'm going to ask Stevie to dismiss us with prayer today.